this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in your life. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Later in the program, I will share with you the comment that I would have given today to Fox 31. They called Colorado Right to Life, asked for comments about IVF and pre-screening, screening embryos to decide whether or not to destroy them or not. They ended up getting a comment from the Archbishop in Denver, which was good. We're looking forward to hearing that on Fox 31 News tonight. But so that's later in the program. First, you've heard the news story, the tragic murders in the Kansas City area of a former KKK member, a Klansman, a Grand Dragon, no less, who murdered three people at a Jewish community facility, actually two facilities in the Kansas City area. Benjamin Netanyahu sent condolences to the victims' families. Well, to get information on this tragedy as it's unfolding, we have another Denver radio talk show host on the line who's a family member of those killed, Randy Corcoran. Let's go to Randy Corcoran. Welcome, Randy, to Bob in Your Live.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate the time.
Well, Randy, and thank you for taking time. This is such a difficult time for you. I believe you've traveled for a funeral. Could you fill us in on first your relationship to Dr. Corcoran and then this crime generally?
Sure. Well, most everybody has seen the news reports. The first two people that were killed were my first cousin, Dr. Bill Corcoran, and his grandson, Reet Underwood, 14-year-old Eagle Scout. And so I just finished flying from Denver to Dallas and then into Joplin, Missouri, where I've hooked up with my father, and we're going to hang out for a day or so, and then we'll be heading up to Leawood, Kansas for the memorial service for the family.
Mm. And with that, I'm sorry, Randy, that very perverse group, Westboro Baptist Group in Kansas, have said that they plan to protest the funeral. So I'm sorry that added to all the grief is that sideshow that they'll create through this.
Well, it's very destructive who these people are, and a lot of people have seen Dr. Bill's daughter, Mindy. She's been on television, and she did a news conference the day after. She went to a prayer service the night of the killings, and she has just exhibited such a spirit of comfort and forgiveness and a determination that this rampaging murderer who snuffed out these two lives is not going to defeat our family. Mm. And for a mom who just lost her dad and her 14-year-old son and was the first person on the scene before the police, paramedics, and actually had to witness this carnage for herself, to be exhibiting that kind of just class and internal strength.
Yeah, that
there's
grace.
No way. Yeah. There's just no way that we can let these Westboro Baptist cretins show up and cause our family any more harm. So I'm really reaching out to every network I have in the Liberty Movement, in the media, and elsewhere, trying to build an army together to put up between these people and my family when we head in for our memorial service on Friday.
Wow. Randy, we're on a competing radio station, of course. We're on the 50,000-watt AM 670 KLTT. But could you tell our audience about when you're on the air very early in the mornings, right? Could you tell us about your program?
Well, I appreciate that. I do a show that's called Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. It's 5 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday on KLZ 560, first AM station on to the left of the dial. It's a station, a political activism station, liberty-oriented, values-oriented, conservative radio. And we've only been at it for about Let's see, we're in our 15th week now. I did the show this morning, and it's just really been a blessing having that platform as well, because I can't tell you, Bob, the kind of support and prayers and offers of assistance from everybody,
yeah.
friends, people I don't know, listeners, politicians. I mean, it's just incredible how people come together in a tragedy like this.
Mm-hmm. Randy, you have come out of your radio program is an outgrowth of the Tea Party movement. Isn't that right?
That's right. I'm the chairman of just Tea Party group in the state of Colorado, largest and most active. But thankfully, I'm very proud to say we're starting to have some real competition. The Tea Party movement, the Liberty movement in Colorado is growing, organizing, getting smarter, more sophisticated. And I'm very excited about what I think we're going to be able to do in Colorado this year.
I don't need to take this this terrible event as an opportunity to ask you to make a statement, so I won't, but I'll just let you know that I've gone to, 15 or more Tea Party events all around Colorado getting signatures for the Brady Amendment, the 8.5-month-old little baby killed by a drunk driver, and with 141,000 signatures, that's on the ballot in November, and the Tea Party groups were as loving and receptive and eager to say that the right to life is the preeminent right. If you don't have a right to life, you don't have a right to free speech or to own a weapon or any other right. And so anyway, the Tea Party group has been just wonderful to the personhood movement and to Brady and to his mom, Heather. So then, of course, every murder is a crime against the God-given right to life of the innocent person. So back to now you going to the funeral. So you said that Dr. Bill, that's William, Dr. William Corcoran, that's your first cousin. So then you said that his wife and the mother of his 14-year-old son was the first on the scene?
No, his daughter, who is also the mother of the 14-year-old grandson, was
okay.
The first on the scene.
So,
by herself, there were two strangers who were holding her son, Reet, in their arms, and a third stranger who very lovingly came and wrapped his arms around her and walked her away so that she wouldn't have to see what had happened to her 14-year-old.
Oh.
But she was there by herself before there were any police or paramedics or anything, and so I've just been so proud of her and so humbled by her strength. And when I heard about these Westboro creeps, I just couldn't see how we not do everything we can to protect the family from any exposure to them at all.
Yeah, so a wall of people dividing the service from, you know, we've interacted somewhat with the Westboro creeps is a good word. It's a family operation, and there seems to be mental illness. I mean, aside from the obvious approach that they take and their hatred for those who are not Christians, there's a mental illness within that family. We know we've interacted with some of them going back 21 years ago, trying to reach out to them, trying to reason with them when they were in Denver. But we quickly saw that they were a vulgar, filthy, hate-filled. And Randy, I'm the pastor of a fundamentalist Bible church, and we talk about homosexuality and such issues, but we try to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ and with God's offer of salvation. Westboro Baptist only wants to hate, and so that's quite a crisis.
There's a real irony, too, Bob, and that is that, you know, the founder of that family, and you're right, it's not a church. I mean, I'm driving in the car with my 87-year-old father right now. I suppose we could call ourselves the Church of Ford Focus.
Right, right.
And that's about the same kind of church, you know, as far as the church goes. This is a family, and they've got a First Amendment right to be Cretans. That's okay. But when the founder of that family died just, a few weeks or months ago, one of the first things that they asked for was privacy for their own memorial service. So what hypocrisy coming out of this family right now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. So, Randy, could you talk to us about how did you find out about this tragedy? Probably like the rest of us did, but more of how this has affected you and your family.
Well, sure. Sunday afternoon, I wasn't watching any TV or anything, but I was contacted by a family member, and of course, then I started watching and trying to absorb everything I could. First reaction is, you know, can't be possible. I lost my only brother almost 33 years ago now in a car accident. And, you know, when people die in accidents or when they get old or have an illness or something like that, it hurts, but it's expected. Things like that happen from time to time. Something like this is just so extraordinary. Dr. Bill's daughter said they were in the wrong place at the wrong time for a split second. And it's just really hard to wrap your hands and your heart around something like that. And it's funny, though, Bob, that for the last couple of days, I went ahead and did the radio show. I thought it was cathartic to talk about it and hear from people and just kind of share how we deal with tragedy and, you know, the political aspect of all the left-wing gun grabbers will come out in force every time something like this happens. And it was all part of a conversation. But when this Westboro group.
Well, and Randy, to let you know, we've heard everything you've said perfectly, except for the last 30 seconds. We missed most of that, undoubtedly, okay, because you're driving through the hinterland.
Sure.
But so
well, I can summarize it very quickly.
Yeah.
When Westboro showed up, I was able to shift from feeling sorry for myself and my family and the people closest into a mode of action, because I felt like I could protect my family in some small way,
right,
separating them from these cretins, and it really helped me get back into life and action, and so that was a real blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, oftentimes when people do things with evil motivation, God is still able to shine through. And those who love him and honor him find a way to teach the truth through the most terrible crises. I mean, we saw that. We homeschool our kids. We still have three boys at home. And one of them just read Corrie Ten Boom's The Hiding Place. And the world hasn't had too many chapters as wicked as that chapter in Europe in the 1940s. But even there, in the darkest of dark places, God's light could shine through. Randy, I don't know anything about your philosophical views or your religious views, but I'd like to just share with you and the audience that there are many who say, like Billy Graham after 9/11, he said from the National Cathedral, he said, we don't know why things like this happens, but I think that's incorrect. From the perspective of the teachings of Jesus Christ, evil things happen because people disobey God. People disobey God and they get a hatred for their neighbor. They're obsessed with their own selfishness. And then they disobey. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery, and so on. And so then the world is filled with suffering and pain. But I think it's a tragedy when people say either we don't know why things like this happen or that God wanted this to happen. I think those are both equal tragedies.
Well, it's hard to know whether we'll really understand the motivations of the killer. Obviously, he's been hate-filled, and he was out to kill Jews. He killed two Southern Methodists, including a 14-year-old Eagle Scout,
yeah,
and a woman. I don't know too much about the third victim yet, but I plan to learn a great deal about her tomorrow as well, because her family and their loss is, you know, no less important than ours or any other.
Right.
But, you know, the Bible also talks about time and unforeseen circumstances. So I never try and come to too concrete of conclusions about something like this. I just know that I've been in awe and amazed about how everyone has gathered us together in loving arms and in prayer and in just every other way imaginable. There is great goodness in the world still, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. So, Randy, by the way, with your first cousin, Dr. Bill, as you called your cousin, his 14-year-old grandson being an Eagle Scout, our three youngest boys have been in the Boy Scouts for 8 years. Zachary was just two merit badges and an Eagle Project away from getting his Eagle Scout. And so we could relate, obviously, millions of people could relate at all different levels. And so a crime like this, and yesterday on the air we talked about the use of the phrase a hate crime, and a lot of conservatives are uncomfortable with that because the government looking at our views and perhaps one day calling them hate crimes, just our thoughts. But there is a kind of a crime that's different from simply a murder where the criminals are attempting to terrorize a whole group of people. And so that is an additional crime. It's more than simply a crime of passion and killing somebody because they angered you or infuriated you. Going to a Jewish center, a Jewish community center, and killing people because you think they might be Jewish, I mean, that strikes fear into the hearts of Jewish families that have kids and anyone of common sense. So these kinds of crimes are more insidious than the typical run-of-the-mill murder, kidnapping, and so on.
Agreed. And I guess that's why I've just been so in awe of Dr. Bill's daughter, also the mother of Reed, to come out and to be able to speak as she has, really reaching out and trying to comfort all those who are scared, who are hurting. And I don't know how she's dealing with her own grief right now, but the strength that she exhibits ought to be an inspiration to anybody. I don't know if you knew this, Bob, but her son, Reed, was going to an audition, a singing audition, and he rehearsed two songs at home with her. And she talked about how grateful she was that she had hugged and kissed him goodbye and told him that she loved him before he left. But the last song that he sang for his mother before he went off to his death was "You Will Miss Me When I'm Gone."
Wow.
And I don't know how she gets up in the morning just thinking about that. It just is astonishing.
It is astonishing. So, Randy, we're speaking with Randy Corcoran, whose own program is early in the morning, 5 a.m. on KLZ AM 560 here in the Denver area. Randy, tell us the 5 a.m. till when?
It's 5 until 8 a.m., Monday through Friday.
5 until 8, weekdays. How do you get up that early, Randy? It's you well, against Peter Boyles, right?
That's right. You know, I've ridden motorcycles with Peter, so maybe he rubbed off on me a little bit. What the tough part is that after I get done with the radio show, I go seven floors on an elevator and start my day at my law firm. So these are busy days now, but I'm very inspired and motivated, and I'm loving every second of it.
All right. Well, Randy, thank you. It's an honor that you would take time out of your day and your time with your dad to call in and talk to me and our audience. Thank you, and we'll be praying for you and your family. And tell me again Dr. Bill's daughter's name.
Dr. Bill's daughter is Mindy Corcoran. I played her conversations on my show, and people said they were 100% inspirational. So I'd encourage anyone to look at them. And also, Bob, if I have just a second, anybody who is connected at all in the Kansas City, Olathe, Leawood area that could talk to somebody who can help join us. The memorial service is going to be at 3 o'clock at the Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas. And the Cretans from Westboro Baptist say they're going to show up around 2:15. So if anybody can contact folks that can show up and help us protect my family from those people at the Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas, starting around 2 o'clock on Friday, I would just be eternally grateful. And I thank you very much for the opportunity to ask.
Well, sure thing, Randy. And I hope someone from this broadcast will be able to be there. We, 50,000 watts low on the AM dial. Hey, did you know, Randy, the lower you are on the AM dial, the further the signal will go at the same wattage. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. I've actually looked at the coverage maps, and which explains to me when I'm on KLZ why I get calls from Cheyenne and Colorado Springs and all kinds of weird places. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and so being low on the dial, the signal really goes. So 560 a.m., you can't get better than that. And then we're up at 670, and KOA, they're way up at 850. But we have listeners in Kansas and Nebraska, Wyoming, and occasionally we get emails from even Oklahoma in the panhandle, people saying they catch us on the air now and then over the airwaves. So hopefully one or more of those people, Randy, will be able to be there per your request. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate the time.
All right. Please say hi to your dad. So that's Randy Corporan. It is it's an honor to take his call at this time. I also mentioned at the top of the show that Fox 31 is doing a segment, apparently this evening on the news, about PGD. PGD, what's PGD? Pre-implantation diagnosis. And that's in an IVF clinic. They will have tiniest little boys and girls in a petri dish. And why would we call them boys and girls? Well, if mom is pregnant and you go for an ultrasound and the baby's too young, the technician will say, well, I couldn't tell if it's a boy or a girl. That's only because their eyesight, their vision into the child isn't clear enough. But what if you had really, really, really good vision? Then how old does the baby have to be before you know it's a boy or a girl? If you could really see. You know how some people look at you and it's like they're looking right into you, or right through you, as the case may be? Well, what if somebody really could, they really were good at it? How old does the baby have to be before you know it's a boy or a girl? And the answer to that is, at conception, at fertilization, when the ovum and the sperm meet, then at that moment, the baby either has two X chromosomes or an X and a Y chromosome. So it's a little boy or a little girl at the very first cell, at that explosion of life, that blastocyst and that zygote, that embryo. From the very beginning of that child's life, she's a little girl at that single cell. So the IVF movement has these little tiny, the tiniest little boys and girls in a petri dish, and then they will do genetic screening to find out if they have Down syndrome or some handicap or disease, and they'll kill the ones who are not, you know, designer gene kids. Channel 31, Fox 31 here in Colorado, they are apparently doing a segment on that, and they contacted Colorado Right to Life and asked for someone to provide a comment about this PGD, this pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, and undoubtedly how that issue relates to the right to life, the Brady Amendment, which is on the ballot in November. So I was to speak with Serena Ung, UNG, one of their reporters at Fox. But that didn't happen. I got an email just moments before showtime from Serena, and she said, thank you, Bob, for being available. But I was able to get an interview with the Archbishop in Denver. And so, therefore, thanks for getting back to us. But if we need more, you know, B-roll or whatever, we'll be out there. So I thought what I would do, so I replied to Serena and thanked her for letting us know. And just FYI, I gave her our comment, what we would have said in a 2 or 3 minute interview, and then they'd snip out what they want to air, right? Usually we get, normally someone who's pro-abortion would get, say, 48 seconds. And we've had as little as, what, 6 seconds on, was that Channel 4? I think they took a 3-4 minute interview and chopped it down to a 6-second clip. And I tell you, that 6 seconds was pretty powerful. It was a good 6 seconds, but it was only 6 seconds. But so here are some of the things that we were going to say. This pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, this PGD, is eugenics. And negative eugenics at that, whereby the youngest boys and girls who don't measure up are disposed of. The greatest pain a child suffers. What is that? What is the greatest pain that a child suffers? Well, we were going to say on Fox 31 this evening, but the greatest pain a child suffers is that of rejection. Jesus taught that all deeds will come to light. Everything people do is going to come to light. There will be no dark secrets. So Jesus taught that all deeds will come to light. And with this pre-implantation diagnosis, that means that the mom and dad, the IVF technician, and those who advocate killing the child who doesn't make the cut, one day they will stand before God and before these kids. You know, the pain of childbirth notwithstanding, the greatest pain many moms suffer is losing a child. And that's because emotional pain lasts months or years longer than does physical pain. So Colorado Right to Life thanks God for each child brought into the world, but calls for the nation to stop those who are turning IVF into a eugenics movement. Eugenics advocates say they're motivated out of compassion, preventing a life of suffering by killing the little boy or the girl. In reality, those children will suffer rejection. And that emotional pain is far greater than any physical pain. You know what? The written statement goes on just for another 3 sentences. We'll post that on today's show summary at kgov.com. Hey, check out our store, kgov.com, the store, or donate. We need your help.